Well, Adam and Eve really screwed it up. You know, here, this whole great start, all this gift, all these blessings, this wonderful setup that was given to them, they just needed to follow God's will. And it was pretty simple of what to do. And they said, no, we want to be in control. We think we know better. You know, not the first time in human history when that has been done. You know, and so as a result, you know, it's amazing. You just look at that. This is the first thing. You go to all this trouble to create this world, create these people, get them a perfect setup, and they throw it in your face. And so, you know, God could have just gone like, okay, thank you very much. I think I'll go to another galaxy and see what we can do there, you know. And yet, again, from the very beginning, this God's devotion to us, pure grace, pure grace. God's devotion to us and not letting our sinfulness and our stubbornness and our self-will and our at times refusal to be creatures and refusals to be sons and daughters rather than the ones who run the show. You know, God doesn't let that stop his loving care for us. You know, I think our major access way into even coming close to understanding why in the world anybody would do that is, it's why marriage is called a sacrament. I think in family life, you know, we see that operative a lot too, that kind of fidelity, you know. And today we celebrate the triumph of that grace. God just didn't say, well, I'll try to put up with them for another few centuries and see what happens. You know, God's remedy, the beginning was he was going to infuse all of human nature with divinity, you know, and make it with an unbreakable bond, unbreakable commitment, and say, I am just going to give you the gift that you can continually, if you turn toward it, to continually be able to grow in my love and grow in my life and grow in the blessings and then have it explode into eternal joy and eternal happiness. I'm just going to do that. And he did that through the pledge of his son. And in order to prepare for that and also as a side benefit, marvelously to give us an example and real hope that we can actually fully accept this gift. Unlike Adam and Eve, a creature, one of us, could do that. We have Mary to prepare the way for this great event of divine and human to come together, to be through the grace of God, you know, free from sin from the first moment she was conceived in her mother's womb, so that this amazing event of divinity and humanity could be conceived in her. And she gives us an example of what it takes, you know. And it takes a lot just to be able to say yes. You know, as often as we've heard this story, you know, if you stop back and you go to it again, you're going like, this is a simple girl from Galilee out in the sticks. And here God is offering this tremendous promise and tremendous adventure that won't be easy, that requires a change of plans. To which she could basically said, no, I was thinking of going to technical school and becoming a radiologist. You know, that'll be helpful, won't it? Could you find somebody else to do this? I mean, just the astounding offer that God made and that we're capable of being able to say yes. With the special grace of God, free from sin, power of the Holy Spirit, we're capable of saying yes to the fullness of what God wants to be able to offer to us. You know, this is the grace operative in a creature like us, one of us, Mary, you know, that then cooperates with and is with the amazing, amazing grace and life that comes to us because of the main event, Jesus, her son. What we do, the power that she received to be able to do all this was from the Holy Spirit. And it's that same Holy Spirit that we receive through the sacraments. And the question is not, will God give the Holy Spirit to us to enable us, not in exactly the same way as through Mary, because she was without sin from the beginning and we have original sin, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, water in the Holy Spirit, that is washed away and forgiven in baptism. And we have the power through penance and through Eucharist, through the sacraments, to continually be renewed and freed from that sin through the same Holy Spirit that came upon her. You know, and to accept that Spirit. Today, on the celebration of her feast, what will we do? We'll take our lives, what God has given us, what we've made with our own time, with our own hands this past week. We'll take it, this bread and wine symbolize it. We'll place it on this altar. And what do? We call down the Holy Spirit upon us. We call down the Holy Spirit upon the gifts of ourselves. And this bread and wine becomes the very body and blood of Christ. And then comes the real challenge. Do we receive it? Do we receive it with open hearts the way Mary did? Do we receive it with the humility that Mary did and said, yes, I will receive your gift. I will receive the gift of your Spirit and I will let it take me where you want to take me, not according to my own plans. And I will let it have me step up to the plate and have courage in ways in which I don't think I have courage. That's a real challenge. Think of them. So many times we've been offered to be able to do something. Sometimes it wasn't in accordance with God's will and we didn't. Sometimes it was in accordance with God's will and go like, oh no, I can't speak in public. I just can't write that letter of forgiveness to X or Y or Z. Oh no, I can't take this risk with giving away this money. How many times we've not stepped up to the plate the way Mary stepped up to the plate? Possibility is there every time we gather together for here and call down the Holy Spirit upon these gifts and receive the Eucharist. What do we pray right before we receive this Eucharist? It's so similar to Mary. We pray as we prepare to receive, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Let it be done to me according to your will. Let it be done to us according to your will. The words of Mary. Thy kingdom come. And what do we need? Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day this Eucharist. Give us this day this Spirit-infused life. Jesus Christ himself within us. May our celebration of this Feast of the Immaculate Conception lead us to more and more glory and praise to God who does not give up on us. Glory and praise to God who's capable of transforming a creature like ourselves into one's totally open to receive the fullness of the gift. Glory and praise to God that gives us the courage and the love that we need through the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to live God's life in this world and truly be able to live his love. Glory and praise to God who gives us another chance, more deeply than ever, to receive this gift in this Eucharist on this celebration day.